Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Michael U Podcast. We have a very special guest today, Alicia Sander. Hello,
hey,
Alicia.
What's up?
Yeah, Alicia actually is the inspiration behind this podcast. She's the one that told me to do it at a coffee shop nearby.
I know, and you did it so quick. I was thinking that today. I thought, and look at you go. You just said, I'm doing this, and you did it. I need that in my life, but
yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Well, I think it's... When I hear a good idea, I really try to stick to my intuition.
Yeah.
You know? And I've said it on this podcast a few times. I really enjoy listening to podcasts, so mm-hmm. I thought I would contribute and not just eat a bunch of food and not exercise. You know what I mean?
Has it been as fulfilling as you thought? Like, has it been more work than you were expecting?
It actually, you know, it hasn't been. It's just been. It's actually been like a total joy, and
that's so fun.
It's weird. Like, you'd think that. That you'd not want to listen to your own voice, but I just love listening.
I really love myself.
Oh, yeah. I listen to all the podcasts before I go to sleep.
Mm.
No, I'm just joking.
You're like, what was my favorite one? Where I shine.
Exactly. And then I just like put that in a loop in my house. But Alicia has a great background in entertainment. So why don't you share a little bit about your background, Lish?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I would say there's so many. My friends always say I've lived 9 lives. So I grew up in Calgary, Alberta. My life, for the most part, I was a professional hip-hop dancer for a long time.
Mm.
So a lot of people don't know that looking at me, but I am pretty gangster.
Yeah,
fly. Yeah, pretty cool. So I did that for most of my life, and I thought that's what I was going to do. I think with dance, it's weird. It's like you either are going to be a backup dancer or you're going to go on tour with like a Cirque du Soleil type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of like the options. So I thought I was going to do that for a long time and then realized there's not a lot of money in it.
Hmm.
So kind of changed directions. But I wanted to stay in that industry. So I had gone from dancing to wanting to do entertainment PR to acting to kind of just wanted to stay in that world. But I ended up going to the University of Calgary for communications because I thought, oh, I'll get into entertainment PR that way.
Right.
And then... I don't know, it was weird. It was like roundabout. I had a boyfriend of 4 years. We broke up. I had a 22-year-old crisis.
Okay.
Got back into acting. Moved to LA with my sister for 6 months. Then packed up my car and drove to Vancouver and tried to act here. And then realized that was too hard. And then got into real estate.
Wow, what a journey. So
that's a random story.
So pretty creative. So what actually inspired you to start dancing in the first place? So you mentioned that you did it since you were a kid.
Yeah, you know what? Dancing was one of those things, and to this day...
When did you start?
How old?
Yeah.
I was probably 10.
Okay.
But I think it's funny because, and I always say this, like dancing is my, almost like your baseline. Like it's hard to explain, but I know not a lot of people get that feeling in their life, but the kind of assurance I had with dance, like from a kid, I would put on shows and I would make my parents come watch me and I would have like a whole set and a costume change. And like, we got a Tyco video camera and I would make my sister video me and I would like come out of the wing and do this whole performance. And I was born to perform. Like that is the only thing throughout my whole life, the common theme that I can say without a doubt I was meant to do. And so I think once you feel like that, and I think I knew from the minute I could move that I was going to dance, and I think once I felt like that, it's almost like I've always been trying to catch that same feeling. And
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a blessing and a curse. Like it was, I feel so lucky that I felt that and I did it and I know how that feels, but it's a curse because it's like nothing will live up to it. That's how I've felt at least. So
yeah, because some people like... I think for the most part, I think 99% of people, if they think of themselves out in the public dancing, it would be like the most terrifying thing.
And you know what's funny is I always say it, I'll put my kids in it regardless, because not only did it teach me a lot about presence and stage and that kind of thing, and exactly that, it's almost like public speaking, but worse, because you're moving.
Public moving.
But it teaches you about your body. Like, I understood more about how to move and how, like, almost like self-awareness, like how to dress and what things looked like on me, because I understood my body so innately. And I feel like that's a lesson that I think a lot of people don't have, like the body awareness that I feel grateful to have learned. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
So you always wanted to perform, like even when you were like a kid, just innate.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like,
where do you think that came from? Do you think of a singular moment where that kind of?
I don't know. I feel like this goes back to, like, is it nature or nurture? Because I do feel like that was nature. I think my mom is really shy. My sister's pretty shy. My dad's, like, a outgoing person, but not in that way. Like, he's not looking to put on a dance performance.
he's not into tap?
I should see if he's into it now. But I don't know. It was weird. It was just, like, and I remember my mom saying, she said, when you were, like, two, you would, you know, you would, if music came on, you would, like, do this whole show in front of us. And she was like, you're always funny. Like, you were always making jokes. And it's weird. It was, like, one of those things I don't know what it is, but that's what I was born to do. Hmm. So I'll let you know if I stumble across it again.
Because I hear a lot of entertainers and people, like, very creative types, and I have so much respect for them because mm-hmm. I am not one.
Yes, you are. You're entertaining. You have a podcast.
I'm funny looking. That's why this is a podcast and not a video. We don't have video, but so, you know, and I've always wondered, like, what was the nucleus? What was the root? What was the seed in which, like, this happened? Was it like, I was at this recital when I was 1 years old and I just knew, like, this is like the moment.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I always read about comedians, how...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, how most of it comes from, like, childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my childhood wasn't per se traumatic, but my parents got divorced when I was young, and it was really a big deal for me at the time. And, you know, my mom always says we grew up dysfunctional enough that we were funny. And I always think it is kind of that. Like, I think mm-hmm. that the performing and that world was an escape a little bit from maybe a subconscious stress I had with my parents breaking up, and my mom went from, you know, a stay-at-home mom to no money at all, and then we were almost, like, in poverty for a few years, and then we got back up, and so, you know, like, the little bit of tumultuous, and you feel it a lot more, I think, when you're young, and I think in a weird way that was, like, my, I don't know, it's, like, my soul was meant to do that. I wanted to express myself, and that was the best way. Like, that's probably the best way I could put it, is mm-hmm. I felt like that was the best way I could really express who I was, like, dance and be funny and make jokes, and, like, and I still am like that in the sense of it's not that I want to be the center of attention, but I live to make other people laugh. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I just could ride that forever, you know? Yeah.
So have you ever done any, like, have you done any comedy in the past?
No. Oh my God. It's funny. I would love to do it, but I'm terrified. For some reason, I'm terrified of that. I don't know why. I think I'm too self-aware now as I got older, you know?
Do you think it's self-aware or self-conscious?
Conscious, yeah. Yeah, self-conscious, probably. Because I can, like, riff with people, humor-wise, mm-hmm. but I don't think I could, like, write a set. Yeah, I don't feel like I'm smart enough to write a comedy. Because I really feel comedians are brilliant. Like, I think the fact that they can write a thing. But, I mean, you did it.
Yeah, I took this. So I don't know if I shared this on the pod before or not, but I take adult school because I'm a weirdo. Like, I hated school growing up. I was like, school is the worst. Yeah. Like, don't tell me what to do. But, you know, as an adult, I take adult classes all the time. And I'm taking actually a dance class, like, next month.
Wait, where do you take them?
There's this place called, it's on Main Street. It's called Rain City. I can't even remember what. Okay. Rhythm City.
Okay.
Shout out to Rhythm City. I'm sure that a lot of listeners come from Rhythm City Dance Hall. Maybe they will. This will be a dancing pod. It'll stop being like a business real estate pod. I'm excited. It's going to be like a dance mania pod.
Yeah. So wait, did you take the comedy class from Rhythm City?
No, I took the comedy class from Langara College. Okay. I have some strange, weird affinity for Langara College because that's what There's a life-changing moment that happened after I graduated from high school. I was not going to ever go to school again because I was traumatized by the environment of my high school and, you know, being bullied and all the rest of it, and it kind of sucked. So I was like, never going to school again. And then I was working for a long time, working at Subway sandwiches, actually, as a full-time sandwich artist. I was a 40-hour week guy.
Gotta get you to make me one of those.
I may have made you one. And so I was working at Subway, and that was going to be my career. And, but, you know, a series of circumstances happened, and I really discovered that I needed to go back to school. Otherwise, I wasn't going to, make anything of myself. So that's what I did. And, I went to Langara, and I remember lining up at the registration office and like signing up for classes on one like evening. So,
cool.
Yeah. So I take adult school at Langara as much as I can. So whatever I'm really interested in, because, we're like, Alicia is also a licensed realtor. We'll get into the realtoring.
Aside from dancing.
Yeah. Aside from dancing, acting, and being like, someone that loves making people laugh. She also sells real estate. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I always like to learn stuff on the creative side of my mind because, obviously we're in business every single day. We're working, reading through strata documents and doing all these other things, real life stuff. I always like to learn about the creative pursuits. Mm-hmm. I did a stand-up comedy course at Langara College, and at the end of the course, you actually go up at Yuck Yucks and you like perform in front of like 100 people. It was pretty cool. But then I think once they break it down, there's actually like a science of how to build a joke. Like there's a lead up and then a punchline, and then it's just like a series of lead up and punchlines. It's like setups, punchlines, punchlines. But then it has to tell a story, so it's on a topic.
Okay.
And it's actually like, and there's like five things that people find funny. Like these are the five types of punchlines.
Oh no way!
And
that's
so it's
interesting.
Like, yeah, it's like, so it's like there's a bit of a science that goes around it, and some people like break the scientific method of creating comedy because they're just like these uber talented people, and they're just and the best comedians actually, their setups are funny and then their punchlines are even funnier. But most comedians are just like, their setups are pretty boring and then their punches are pretty funny. So
what did you find, like, once you went up, did a lot of people laugh?
But I don't want to brag.
But I had the crowd.
Well, it was like it was just, I think it was 5 minutes, but yeah, I think I did fairly well, and it did, but I think in that environment, because I invited like my closest friends and family, everyone knew that we're a brand new comedians, and there was about 10 of us, and we keep in touch still, the class.
That's
yeah.
So cool.
We created a chat room, and so people are like, a lot of the people that I actually went with are still doing sets, and they asked me to come out to do some sets and stuff like that. So, I think maybe in the future I might dabble in it again.
Yeah, your comedy career might take off better than your real estate career.
That's what I'm banking on. That's my investment. But, I think it's a... I always like to just go for it.
Yeah.
I feel like... I don't know if you've ever had this happen or anything in your life, Lish, but then where, your intuition, deep down, you want to do something, but for some unknown reason, you just don't...
Oh, all the time. I feel like that's... the theme of my life, which in 2019, New Year, New Me, that's what I seriously sat down and like simplified it, because I felt like I had all these ideas and I would start them and then be like, I mean, it's that same thing everyone has of then rolls in the excuses of, oh, that won't really work, or I can't do that, I don't really have time, or I don't really know what I'm talking about. I think that's my block, is I have like an education block, which is weird because I'm not someone that thought like going to university was the be all end all, but I constantly feel like I shouldn't talk about things that I don't have a formal education in, which is silly when I say it out loud. But
why is that? Where does that come from?
I don't know. Like the credibility, I used to always feel like this is funny. Oh, you're getting real deep down on the pod.
Yeah.
But when I was young, I used to want to dye my hair dark because people thought I was a dumb blonde.
Mm.
And that was the first thing that just popped in my head when you said that. So maybe that's where it's from. I just always thought people thought I was dumb.
Why is it so important? And this is, I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with, and it's not, you know, it's really common to really care about what other people think and, you know, their judgments upon you and so on and so forth. And I feel like, how, do you think that has impacted your life?
Oh yeah. And I don't know where that comes from. I think it's also just being, I think it comes with age. Like, I turned 29 this year, and I felt like this year was the first time as far back as I remember, just feel like, oh, okay, I am totally fine with who I am. You know, you just, I think you just hit an age, or maybe it's a point in your life or experiences, I don't know, but I think you just hit a point where you think, oh, I don't care now. Like, I am who I am, and I really like myself, so that's okay.
I think that's, it's a realization that some people have at 29, some people have at 10, and some people have at like 61. So like,
true.
And I feel like it's just where you're at and how you're learning and how you realize things. But, you know, I kind of had this, I used to be really self-conscious about, you know, what I'm doing and how I was behaving. And I felt that, like, I don't know if I read it somewhere or I listened to it on a podcast or something like that, but I heard that, like, nobody's really paying attention, so who cares?
Totally.
And so, like, you know, it's really funny, but we have, like, I was looking at some of the numbers here for the pod. We have, like, hundreds of people that listen to the podcast, which I'm surprised.
That's so cool.
I thought it was going to be, like, 2.
No, but that's amazing.
But there's, like, every episode, there's hundreds of people that listen to the episode.
Wow.
And so, like, I'm like, who are these people that are listening to this thing? And so, which is really cool. And I just feel like there are some people that pay attention, but the people that are actually are, like, rooting for you. And I've gotten, 100%. I've gotten a lot more positive
feedback
than any, like, negative feedback. I like negative feedback because it helps me to improve. Some people text me like, hey, Mike, your sound quality was awful.
You're right.
Like,
and you're like, don't ever listen to my podcast.
Yeah, I'm like, I blocked you from
you're done.
Yeah, it's over. Our relationship is finished. I can't believe you said that to me. I'll never forgive you.
That's how I feel.
There's this thing that I learned it. Do you know this thing where you tear the collar?
No.
Do you hear about this? It's
What's
like a
that?
Jewish thing. So
I'm going to
educate you on your own culture. But then, like, it's a very dramatic thing. And I feel, you know, maybe it's an ancestral thing. But I had dinner with a really, really great colleague of ours. And he said that his father, in the Jewish tradition, if you disown your son, you actually tear your own collar.
Oh my god! On all your shirts?
Yeah, no, just in the shirt that you're like with them, and the, you just tear your collar. I disown you.
And that does sound dramatic. Is our ancestry though? That makes sense.
Yeah, and it was like, and I was like, I was just laughing like incessantly because I felt it was such a like symbolic thing,
totally.
You know, and I, like, you know, it's like smashing the plate. Like,
yeah.
There is some ancestry behind like the reason why. People are the way that they are. The 100%. generational reasons why. And so, yeah. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of people put more pressure on themselves than there is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fruitless.
Well, and I think that's and that's another thing I think that has come from acting that has stayed with me my whole life. An acting coach used to say that to me all the time. He used to say, most people go through their whole day thinking about the same thing you do, which is yourself. So if you think for a second you're important because you said one dumb thing, like, they're not thinking about you. And there were so many lessons. Like, I always say acting class was like therapy on steroids. Like, you would have to sit in the middle of a room and I would have to cry about something that's happened in my childhood in front of 30 people I don't know. And then play out a scene that, you know, it was just so intense. But I always say to people, you know, and maybe you should do that in your Langara College. I don't know if they offer it. But an acting class is honestly one of the best things, I think, to understand yourself and then also to get over yourself. And it's been really cool because I find that, you know, public speaking and this kind of stuff, I don't really get nervous about that stuff anymore. And I think that's probably why, because it was like I had to do it at the, you know, a really intense level.
Yeah, so you're exposing that vulnerability with a bunch of these strangers. Yeah. So how did that change you? How did that like stretch you?
I think I always say I am a little bit of a glutton for punishment. I mean, I know you know how obsessed I am with working out and things like that, but
she has a black eye right now. You guys can't see it.
But I think for some reason and somewhere along the way, I learned that if you hit the brink of what you think you're capable of, the other side of it is really liberating. So I thought, you know, with the gym is my best example. But if you push as hard as you think you can in the gym, and then even harder, your results and how you feel and how you look, like, that all changes so drastically. And I just understood that most people don't ever push themselves too hard outside of their comfort zone. So I think I took the physical aspect and tried to move it into other things. So, I mean, with acting, I felt like that was terrifying at first. And then once I started doing it, I thought, oh, I kind of like that I'm scared, because the more positions I put myself in to be scared, I get less scared. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it's okay. And then you realize you're fine. So I don't know. It's weird. I think that's the lesson I, you know, carry with me now, is as bad as it seems or as uncomfortable as you are, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
You come out the other side a better person. Almost,
totally.
Right? Yeah. You know, and especially going through these experiences and you know, there's so many learning opportunities when you're, you know, exposing yourself and being vulnerable and, you know, doing these, doing something that's really outside of the norm. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, if you don't mind sharing, what are some of the acting mm-hmm. things that you've done? Like, have you, is that something that have you been on any?
Oh, thing? I know. People always say that.
What, no, what I just I'm just curious.
You know what? I did a lot of print and I did a lot of commercial stuff, but then I started, and it's funny because acting, I think I never wanted it bad enough. I really like to perform. Mm-hmm. But the reality of what acting is your life in between. So you're a server, whatever you do for money. You have the odd audition, or you have, you know, maybe an audition a day kind of thing. But sure. Even then, those are half an hour each or whatever. And then you're back to serving. So that part I hated. But when I was in it, I wasn't disciplined enough to be doing TV and film. Like, I don't think I took it seriously enough.
Okay.
So I did a lot of print and commercial, and then, as you know, I did a little stint on a reality show, and now we're doing another one, actually. But, which, weirdly enough, was just as fulfilling to me.
I think. Can you share the story of the of Phoenix Flip, right? Yeah, please.
Yeah, so I had gone to an audition at a bar, and after a while, when you work with an agent, you kind of just go, I did whatever she said, you know. Mm-hmm. She'd say, go to this at this time and wear this. I'd be like, okay, you know, I didn't really even ask the details, you just show up. So she says it again, she says, go to this place at this time and wear this. I said, okay. So I show up and it's a bar, and I thought, well, what the hell is this? So I'm talking to the girl, and she goes, well, it's actually a reality show. And acting when you're in it is very, you know, that's your craft. Like, how dare you send mm-hmm. me to an audition for a reality show?
Okay.
Like, this is not my craft. I didn't study to be on reality TV. So I called my agent and I said, why would you send me for that? That's so stupid, and I don't know why I'm here and I should just leave. And she said, no, stay. It's for a really big network and you never know what could come of it. You know, lines are being crossed between reality and scripted. Just stay. So I stay, and the girl asks me a bunch of questions. I was serving at the time, and she's, you know, they're trying to get you to say really catty things. She said, oh, yeah. How do you feel about the girls you work with? And what about if someone does this? And so I'm kind of feeding into her, and then they ended up, I left and just thought, ugh, like, I hope I don't get that. I hope no one calls me. And I was really flippant in the interview. Like, I was just really loose, and I said whatever, yeah. And I was just being funny and not really caring too much about, you know, what she thought of me. And she ends up calling and saying, like, oh, we want to cast you as the lead on this show on Bravo TV in Whistler. And I went, uh-oh. So I called my agent and I said, I don't want to do it. What do I say to her? And she said, well, you know, so with reality TV, they shoot something first called a sizzle reel. So it's about, you know, a 2 to 3 day shoot, and they package it down into 5 minutes, and then they pitch that out to networks.
Right.
So my agent said, just go shoot the sizzle in Whistler, because no one's going to see that, and if you don't want to do it at the end of that, then just don't do it. Mm-hmm. But it's fun, it's a free trip to Whistler, who cares? So I said, okay, so I went and did that, and it was a blast. Yeah. Like, the people on it were fun.
What type of reality show was it?
So it ended up airing, it was called Après Ski, so people may have seen it. It was a team of concierge that worked for a guy named Joey Gibbons, who's a real person. Okay. He owns a bunch of restaurants and hotels in Whistler. So we were essentially the concierge that would cater elaborate vacations for really wealthy people. And okay. We would run around like idiots and try and get them helicopters and all this kind of stuff. So it was fun. It was a blast to film. And it was right as I was getting my real estate license. And they called and said, you know, okay, we're going to start shooting this day. And I said, okay, I actually don't want to do it. And so I went back and forth. The producer from Bravo called me and said, you really should do this. It's like a really big deal and it'll get you a lot of exposure and yada, yada, yada. And I just said, I don't know, like, you know, let me think about it. And then the day before we were supposed to go film, I called and said, I don't want to do it. It was weird. That was one of the most, you know, gut instinct. That was one of the loudest gut instincts I've ever had. Was like, don't do it, don't do it. I like felt sick for 2 weeks because I just thought, I can't do this. So I called my agent. I said, I don't want to do it. And she said, okay, I'll let them know. And then right after that, the production company said, well, we really liked you. Do you want to do a different show? And I said, well, I'm going into real estate. Can we do something revolving real estate? So then a few years later, Phoenix Flipped was born. Sure. That aired 3 times on HGTV, and then they didn't go to a series. So now, again, same kind of story. A production company reached out and said, do you want to do a different show? So now my sister and I are in the middle of, we filmed a different sizzle reel, so now we're waiting to see what happens.
Great. With that. Oh, I guess it's confidential, so you can't.
The new show?
The new show.
Yeah, the new show's confidential.
Is it in Canada or in the States?
It's in Vancouver.
Oh, it's in Vancouver. Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it's real estate related, so it will be cool if it goes, but reality TV is really finicky. It's mm-hmm. like they...
What is reality? Like, is it more scripted than people think, or is it pretty improv?
It depends. I think it just depends what network and what production company. Like, they kind of set up the scene for you, but then you say whatever you want, but they'll say, okay, Lish, like, you're going to walk in here, and Dell's already in the kitchen, and you guys have just finished renovating X, Y, and Z. Go. And then, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So you're riffing, but, like, it's set up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know how you would do it otherwise, unless it was, like, because they call it like docu-follows, like the Kardashians. Sure. I don't know if you watch the Kardashians, Mike.
Well, I have my lifetime subscription to, and I'm in their fan club. Okay. I'm like the president of the
Kardashians.
Khloe Kardashian.
You're like one of their names.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They call it like a docu-follow, so they just follow them around for a few days.
A few days.
Anyways, but most HGTV shows are like. It's funny because I watch them now and I think, oh man, that's so scripted.
Okay. They don't. Like the veil is off, you know,
yeah,
Oz.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so when you're in the process of doing that, are you playing, like, are you just being totally yourself? Or are you, like, a hyper version of you? Or are you, like, do you think you're playing a role?
Yeah, I think the one I did the sizzle for the Après Ski one, the Bravo one, I kind of just said to myself, okay, just be a role. Pretend it's an acting gig and be this, you know, girl that's in a ski resort and yada yada. And that was really fun. I think the problem with reality TV is that my big concern was that the show was about, we were all living in a house together and everyone was... They were pushing, like, everywhere we would go for dinner, they would push drinks. And it was, I just felt like, oh, it's going to be a show about
messy, us all. Drunk.
Yeah.
And, like, making out with each other.
Totally. Yeah. I had that feeling, and I just thought, and it didn't really end up. Like, once it aired, it was a good show, and mm-hmm. they had one season, and I liked it. But I think when you're trying to, you know, I was wanting to get into real estate and I wanted to be a professional. I just thought, I mean, I also never had like a party girl phase. So that never resonated with me. I've never been like that. So I just felt like, oh, that's not really me anyways. I don't really want to do that.
So what's your process? So, like, let's say you're doing this sizzle reel. Do you have like a creative process that you do or a little routine that you do prior to like going on camera?
No, I mean, take a shot of tequila.
Really?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. I think the one thing I've learned in all of this and the shows and jobs and acting and everything is, like, there's only one of you. And as annoying as you might think you are or stupid or silly or whatever, like, people like people that are themselves. Yeah. So no matter what you think of it, you have to just be exactly who you are. And I spent a lot of years being like, oh, you know, you talk too much. Maybe next time you see that person, talk a little bit less. And it was like, oh, but this isn't, that's not who I am. Right. Like, I want to talk and I want to ask 25,000 questions. So I think now I just, especially with those shows, I don't think much about it at all. I kind of just say, okay, put the mic on and I'll start talking like I always talk,
yeah,
which is nonstop.
We're just talking before we got here that Lish has the gift of the gab.
Gift of the gab. Yeah.
There's like this old, like Saturday Night Live clip where like Mike Myers is like this, he plays like this, like New Jersey lady, and they just like, it's hilarious.
Oh my god, I have to watch it.
Yeah, so it's a good, yeah, it's a good clip. It'll remind me of you.
Yeah, good. Me and my mom.
Exactly. So obviously having some background in real estate now, because the show that you had before, maybe the one that's coming up, is based around real estate. So show us the journey of the why real estate. Like, why did you decide to go down this route?
Real estate. I wish I could say I was the same as dancing. I don't think I was born into it. But so when I went to University of Calgary, when I was living in Calgary, obviously, my stepdad is a big home builder in Alberta. And he would have show suites. Like, it's a little bit different here. It's not the same as Alberta, but they would have huge developments and they would have a show center, kind of like pre-sales, but houses, detached houses, obviously. And I talked to him about working for him because I needed a summer job. And anyways, I ended up working for him in the sales centers and loved it. It was so fun. People would come in. You had two packages to choose from. You know, you had this finishing and this finishing. And it was so much fun. I absolutely loved it. But it was at a point where I was on my way. Like, I was in the last year of university. And I thought, okay, I either work for my family, and then I'm probably going to be in it. Like, you know, it's harder to leave when it's your family.
Right.
Or my other option was I go to L.A. and live with my sister who had been living in L.A. and try and act.
Mm-hmm. Your sister was trying to act, too.
No, my sister was born in L.A. So when she turned 20, she moved back to L.A. So she had been living there for a while because she had dual citizenship. So I was like, oh, I can go live with Delaney and I can try and act. So I just thought, I have to try that. I'll always regret it. I can't stay in Calgary. You know, I had a boyfriend for a long time, and that was kind of on its way out. And I felt like I had to leave. So I had a taste of that real estate, and I really liked it. It was really fun. But I went to L.A., and I acted, and I waitressed, and I, you know, tried to pretend I wasn't Canadian because no one would do anything with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved home. And I packed up my car, and my stepdad and I drove to Vancouver. I'd been here once or twice when I was young, and I found an apartment in a night, and I stayed here. And it was it's really funny now. Like, I think looking back, I'm so proud of myself. Like, my 21-year-old self, I would say, hey, good for
Pretty
you.
Pretty brave.
Yeah, well,
ballsy.
Yeah, ballsy now that I look back. Yeah. Like, that was young to do that. But anyways, I moved here and I started waitressing at Local and Kits. What's up? And Ian Tang always would come in.
Mm-hmm.
And he always looked great. And he always was with people. And he would come in on like a Monday at lunch. And he had a suit on. And I was just... And he was so nice. And I would say... Finally, I said to him, what do you do for work? And he said, I'm a real estate agent. And I said, that's funny. It was always in the back of my head because I did it for my stepdad and it was interesting. And he said, well, if you ever get your license, you should call me. So that's what I did. And then I met you on 18th and...
Yeah, on Cambie. Right.
And I loved you. And yeah, it was
What
weird.
Did you love the most?
Okay. I'll tell you. Your comedic skills. Your
really?
Comedic timing.
What else is good about me?
Your comedic timing was my favorite.
Okay, so then, and then, yeah, we...
So I met Ian, and then, yeah, but it wasn't... I honestly, if I'm being honest, at the time, it was just in my head, I thought, I need something that makes more money than serving while I'm trying to be an actor. Mm. And so my sister had gotten her real estate license in Phoenix, and she said, you should get it, because at least, you know, you could work the same amount of hours but make so much more money than you could waitressing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. So I did it. And then in that first year, I just thought, oh, I don't want to act anymore. I want to do this. Like, this is so much fun. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And here we are, almost 4 years later.
I know. I can't believe it's been 4 years. It's just, like, it's bizarre.
It's really weird. It doesn't feel like that.
Yeah. I think it's something that... It's like there's this theory of relativity, you know, when you're, like... When you're 6 years old and your summer is like, it feels so long.
It's because so true.
The only thing you have is that 6 years. Yeah. But then as you, like, time just stretches, you know, and it's just all relative. So it's kind of bizarre that 4 years have kind of like marched on and totally. And we're here in this moment right now. So what's the priority now for you, Lish? Like, what's going on?
Well, this is kind of, I think I spent the last year and a half. So my first year in real estate, I fell in love. I thought, this is the best thing ever. I did well in my first year. It was a blast. My second year, we had started filming that show, and it kind of took me out of it because I thought, oh, this is it. I'm going to be on TV and have real estate. It's going to be a dream come true. Then that fell through. And then, again, like I said, I think I am... a little ADD, I think, oh, I'd be good at this. Oh, I'd be good at this. Oh, I'd be good at this. So that this last year, 2018, was like that. I wanted mm-hmm. to do 15,000 different things. And this year I sat down and kind of laid it out to do two things. And like you said, I think with having something a little bit that juxtaposes real estate. So I started up my makeup business again, which is one of my nine lives things. Mm-hmm. I was a makeup artist for years. And then I joined Vancouver Presales or Vancouver Condo Team, and that's been something I wish I had done a long time ago, and I'm so happy there. So, yeah, it's good. I think you have to find your niche, and I had a lot of ego in the beginning. I really wanted to do it myself. I wanted mm-hmm. my name on my signs and my listings and no one else. And then you realize, oh, that's really lonely, and it's not that fun because mm-hmm. you're just alone all the time. And for someone like me, it just wasn't working. So I joined Vancouver Presales and Vancouver Condo Team, and it's just been a blast. I mean, not only for the camaraderie, but the people and the culture and the location, everything's just been, it's fun. It's a lot more fun.
Yeah. So Lish, why don't you share, like, for those of you who don't know, so Lish started as an independent agent, and mm-hmm. she practiced, you know, buying and selling single unit properties for people. And I've actually, like, she's come to a couple of my listings and touring around with her clients, and they look like they're having, like, the time of their lives. Like, they're, like,
yeah,
having
I'm a fun. Blast.
Yeah. Like, when I'm with my client, I'm like, you know, it's just awkward.
You're like, when is this over?
Yeah, I'm like, I know they want to throw me out.
Yeah.
And so it was an interesting, like, it was good to see actually a different side of it. And so she was doing single unit, but obviously then she's now ventured into a part of a team here at the company here at Oakwind. And now she's just within a team environment. It's different, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of camaraderie. It's a lot of in some cases a little more focus because yeah. You don't have to do everything
yeah.
on your own. You kind of have people that you can rely upon and so on mm-hmm. and so forth. So comparing the two, like,
what is the difference?
Yeah.
I just found, for me, being on my own was fun and really rewarding in that first year when I did well in my mind. It was rewarding because I thought, oh, I've done this all by myself and look at me go. And then what I realized, again, I don't know if it's just an age thing or an experience thing, but when you start to get really honest with yourself about, you know, ego aside, how do you want this to look? It just wasn't fun anymore. And I thought I could keep doing this by myself. But again, like I was saying with acting, is the majority of your life is that in between. And that in between, I was sitting at home alone on my computer and thinking, like, I just need to talk to someone else in mm-hmm. the day. Like, this yeah. is, this is so boring. And real estate is collaborative. I think Oakwin's the only brokerage I've ever been at, so I can't really speak for others, but from what I understand, this is probably the most collaborative that a lot of people have experienced. So that's been good, but at the same time, it still is a competitive industry because you are all vying for, you know, a similar business. Mm-hmm. So you can go talk to people, but it's not the same. And anyways, then I joined the Vancouver condo team because I had that conversation with myself, you know, how do you want this to look in 10 years? And I think you've always been really good about that. I've had a few conversations with you where you said, you know, do you want kids? Do you want this? Like, you have to be honest about what you want your lifestyle to look like and then kind of work backwards. And I've always been really, really ambitious, but that honest look in the mirror of, yeah, I want a team and I want to do this and I want to do this because it sounds great.
Right.
But the reality is I would love to have kids and not work every weekend. And, you know, and if that's the reality, then maybe doing it all by yourself isn't the smartest idea. Mm-hmm. Or at least for now, right?
I think absolutely. And there's got to be congruency. It's funny. Mm-hmm. Like, I think everyone wants it all. And, you know, but that doesn't exist in reality. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't have, like, I don't know if I shared this on the pod before, but I may or may not have, but I can't have, like, a super hot girlfriend and expect to be, like, her to be, like, ready, like, in 10 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
for sure.
Yeah, it's just, like, not happening, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, like, how can you not be ready in 10 seconds? Like, what do you think it takes to look like that? Right? And, like, or you can't have, like, you know, you can't have, you know, be a gazillionaire, millionaire dude and have all the free time to go on vacations with your friends anytime exactly. you want and spend, you're going to have to spend Friday nights alone at the office sometimes and you're going to have to be okay with it. Mm-hmm. And even though all your friends are having fun, you're going to have to be okay with it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be missing the birthday dinner occasionally and so on and so forth. So it comes with, there's always consequence to decisions. And I think, yeah. I feel like, you know, as we as we go through, I'm just realizing that more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, ever trying to evolve and trying to learn like the best approaches.
Yeah.
To kind of move on. And I think you know, Lish and I, whenever we get together, we go pretty deep.
I know. Actually. I feel like the, you know, even like, right now.
Yeah.
I've said a lot.
Well, I have a single man tear like trickling down my cheek. It was funny. I wrote a song. I don't know if I wrote a poem.
Oh.
This was in
your next performance.
Yeah. I wrote a poem a long time ago. And it's funny. I don't know if it's funny or not, but it's about like this man that like has a lot of weight on his shoulders, a lot of responsibility, right. And it's called Crying in the Rain. And
and you're the man.
I potentially, sure. I am telling a story. And it's like, you know, he has the weight of the world on his shoulders. He always has to be stoic. A lot of people are counting on him, and the only time he can actually like let out his emotions is when it rains. So he loves walking in the rain.
Aww.
Because he can be alone, he can actually show his emotions because no one will ever see.
Mike.
I know, that's pretty sad.
It's cool. I think it's important. It's, again, the same thing. I think a lot of people aren't honest about what it is. And I was reading something the other day and they were saying even when people, you know, and like you, even when you reach the level of success that you're striving for, a lot of people hit that and think, well, now what? Like, a lot of people then get blocked up there, and I think it's important to understand, or what I'm finding is important is, like, you know, people always say it's not the destination, it's the journey, and you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then, whatever, I need cash. But then as you go, you realize, oh,
just
no.
Just give me the trophy.
Yeah, seriously, but then as you go on, you feel like, oh, no, that it is that, because then the end, you need something else. Like, there's, I don't know, it's weird. It's like, and I always say my direct correlation is to the gym, because that's where I've seen the most success in my life. And I think it's that exact thing, is I never hit my goal, because then what? Like, then I'm this weight, this body fat, I can do this, and I just go home and don't go to the mm-hmm. gym again.
Like, yeah,
that'd be the worst.
There is some, you know, I think it just, I think there is a real, like, what's on the next, like, after you've achieved something, like, what's the next thing, and what's the next mountain to climb, and what's the next challenge that that is important to you? Mm-hmm. And it just depends on the individual, but, you know, I think every human being's different, and they have different motives and goals, and really spending time to really understand that about yourself is very, very important. I know that we talked about this before, but you've done some meditating in the past, and you are the one that suggested for me, which I have as an app, like an application that can help you to, like, to meditate. So, like, what has that taught you, and what is that all, and are you still doing it?
I think more so even within the meditation, what I found is my little morning routine. I wake up around 5:30, depending. I go downstairs, I make hot water with lemon and a coffee, I read a book for 20 minutes, I meditate for 10, and then I go to the gym. And that little circle, I swear, is the only thing that keeps my head from not spinning. And it's weird. I think meditation just taught me that, number one, there's no right way to do it. The guy who runs our team, Amar, we were talking the other day, and he said, because I was explaining the struggle I was having, and he said, it's like analysis paralysis. Like, you're going so far into analyzing it that that's actually paralyzing you from moving. And again, I feel like that is thematic of my life, but I think that the meditation taught me, it was one thing that, again, I think people get blocked up in that is, oh, am I doing it right? Am I sitting right? Am I breathing right? I don't feel anything. And it made me realize that is a metaphor for everything else in my life, which was, there really is no right way. You know, you can sit there, sometimes I sit on the bed, sometimes I sit on the floor, sometimes I keep my eyes open, sometimes I keep the lights on. And I think it just gives you a minute to, it's not like you stop thinking, but I always say it's almost as if then the world slows down around you. So getting kind of control of your mindset and getting control of how you're going to approach the day before the day approaches you allows you to kind of slowly move through it, as opposed to be reactive to everything that's happening. And I noticed, like, drastic differences. If I wake up and go right to work, or wake up and go right somewhere, I totally, it's like a anxious feeling the whole day of things that are, it's like things are hitting me and I'm not in control of what's going on. Yeah, I don't know. Have you been meditating?
You know, after we had our conversation, I just, like, I would, like, wrote down the five things that you told me to do, and I just, like, did them. So
yeah, you've been busy podcasting.
Yeah, busy podcasting, and yeah, you know, I think,
like, what stops you from it, though?
Well, you know, personally for myself, I think, you know, I really enjoyed doing some of the meditations, because I did them outside in my yard. I kind of sat on the grass and I just did them outside, and I felt like pretty, they went really good, you know, and I haven't been continuing to do it lately, but, you know, I think I've been trying to not ever, like, I mean, in the morning I have not, maybe not, like, multitasking or doing anything, just, like, appreciating. It's kind of like a meditation, but not like okay, turning on the app, you're meditating. Sure, exactly. So, for example, like, in the morning, I make this thing called a garbage omelet, which is basically, like, anything left over.
Yeah.
I chop it up, and I throw it, and I throw some eggs on it, and I just, like, rumble it up. Because, Priya and I, my girlfriend, who Lish knows, she's an angel, yeah. So she likes to, like, she likes to not finish anything.
Oh.
So she likes to, like, so if she drinks a can of, like, soda, there'll be, like, a little bit left over.
Why? And
I don't know. She just...
Have you asked her?
No, it's just, like, and if she serves some food, there'll always be a little bit left over. And I'm like, and I like finishing
everything.
I was
going to say, and your pet peeve. Yeah, my pet peeve. Can you please eat the rest of that?
Oh, no, I just finish everything. I get some strange sense of satisfaction with, like, using something fully.
Yeah, but that also probably is, like, they say when your parents, like, make you eat everything on your plate, right?
I used to, like, my grandparents, when I was growing up, like, if I left anything on my plate, they wouldn't let me leave the table. So I would sometimes sleep What? Yeah, at the kitchen table, because it would be like, you can't leave until you finish.
And okay, so
like,
but that makes sense.
Yeah, so like, so it's weird. So it is a, you know, it is a nurture thing that, you know, that works for me. But anyway, so yeah, so I make that in the morning, and as I'm making it, I used to like listen to like a podcast, do this, do that, and a million and one things. And now I just kind of like chop things, and I'm just like, this is a good knife, actually, like the cheap knife I got from Costco.
But that is a meditation.
It is a meditation. Yeah, it is a meditation.
It's mindfulness.
And, yeah, and even like I used to like listen to the radio when I shower and stuff like that, and now I'm just like, nah, you know, I'm just gonna like feel the cold stream of like, you know, of the shower in this moment, and I'm just gonna like just live, like, be a human in this moment. And so like there are some times where I do that, and I've been doing a lot of walks actually lately, with my orthopedic shoes, where, you know, I'll just go for a walk, I'll leave my phone at the office, or, and I've been doing meeting, like walk meetings with people too. I'm like, you know what, let's get out of the office, let's take a walk. That's, if it's a nice day, I do a lot of those walk meetings now, and it's just, and it is meditative. And so I've taken elements of it to incorporate in my own life. And I felt that it has certainly a lot of value, because I feel like, you know, they say like the average human, like, you know, 100 years ago only took in like 20 pieces of information, and now it's like 20,000 pieces of information. And so our minds aren't really tuned to be able to handle and process all the things that are being thrown into our face all the time. And so, like, you know, and we're coping with it, and a lot of it comes out in mental issues, like mental health issues. And so, like, and I you know, which I have a passion for, you know, trying to mitigate or like help my friends and people around me with, because it's like, it can be debilitating.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, like I have a friend that I, you know, unfortunately I've never had any depression, but this guy could not get out of bed.
Yeah, and I think it's funny because we've had a lot of mental health issues in this year. We had a good friend commit suicide from depression in 2018, and we were saying the same thing, is it's so prevalent and so, you know, to us it might feel like, oh, that's crazy, you know, your life is great, what are you upset about? Like, people almost associate it with just being sad, and it's not. And but I completely agree. I think that's a big part of why I do the reading and the meditating, because I've just realized in life in general, I think mental health is the precursor for everything. I mean, it is, I don't think, I know, but yeah, that it's interesting. But that's good, so you're mindful.
You know, I think it's, I wasn't that way before, because I'm like, I was always trying to like maximize, and like, I'm King Maximus, like maximizer. I'm gonna like, okay, every moment of every day is productivity. It's me moving an inch closer to my end destination. And what I found is that like, I really didn't take a lot of joy in it. And in some of the things that I was doing, I wasn't giving it the best of myself. So I stopped booking appointments too close together. I stopped rushing. And what I found was that in doing so, I was able to produce better results and try to, you know, squeeze as much more out of that, you know, out of life in doing things, you know, using mindfulness, using like being in the present and doing things, and just not being distracted. And I feel like focus and giving someone your full 100% attention is the ultimate form of respect, and it's being able to share life with somebody. You know, and I wasn't doing that for a long time, and it's kind of like, it was like a therapy session for me, but like I wasn't doing that with my relationships.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, I would like be taking my girlfriend for granted. Like,
yeah, just, totally.
I'm like, okay, see you, have a good day. And then like, yeah, I'm like, not, because I'm like doing a million one things trying to get ahead. And like, am I really getting ahead, or am I taking several steps back.
Yeah, and then, like you said, taking for granted that she's always going to be there, when in reality, you know, if you don't pay attention to that, and I think that's so common of most people. It's like, they always say, like, you hurt the ones you love, like, the people that are closest to you. It's like, you just kind of are like, oh, yeah, see ya, have a good day, when yeah. in reality, she might be sitting there being like, huh.
So how have you hurt your... Yeah. Keith, what'd, you so what'd you do? What'd you do?
But I was going to say, actually... Because I know you're a book junkie. Deepak Chopra's daughter, Malika Chopra, wrote mm-hmm. a book called Living with Intent. And she talks about that and basically says that everything you do, it's less about, like you said, it's about mindfulness, it's about this, but it's about having an intention for each thing. Like, what is your intent for that day or that meeting or whatever it is? And I found that really interesting because I do agree. I think you can kind of just... keep moving and moving and moving, and then one day you wake up and think, oh, I'm not even really that happy, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I say this year I've kind of narrowed it down and I'm gonna do two things, and I switched to the team and I'm so happy about that, and I'm gonna start makeup because I need something really creative, and I just feel like, oh, that's so relieving, you know. I'm gonna do this and this.
So what is it about makeup, like, why makeup?
Makeup is another thing that was kind of a natural born ability. I just was good at it from when I was a kid. So I used to be a competitive dancer, and you would have to do, obviously, stage makeup. And my mom was a makeup artist, so she would show me how to do it, and then I would do it myself, and I loved doing it. And then I got good at it, so I would do the other girls in my dance class. Mm-hmm. And then that, you know, parlayed into getting older and doing grad makeup or girls' prom or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And before I knew all about all this stuff, it's a little meditative. You kind of, and it's funny because it's the one thing I do that I almost can't have the person talk to me while I do it. And I say it when I do it. I say, just like, I have to kind of pay attention to this, so I'll answer you after. Because they say, you know, what product is that? What do you like for this? What eyeliner do you use? Where should I do this? But it puts me into a weird trance where I'm so focused on the art of it and shading and making sure it's even and the colors and the lighting. It's so relaxing. It's weird. My sister mm-hmm. and I, when we were kids, used to put on full makeup, wash our face, and then do another look, and then wash our face and do another look. It was like coloring. It really is like that. It's such a blast.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So if you were to give a tip to someone that isn't into makeup, so the lady listeners... out there, like, what would be, like, the number one makeup tip or number one, like, tool or makeup tool?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say, it might not make any sense to you, but I would say for girls, like, fluffier brushes. I know a lot of girls, like, for foundation, Mike, I'll give you a tutorial right now.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
But foundation is, like, liquid, and a lot of people either use their hands, which is terrible, or they use really dense, small sponges, and if you use fluffier brushes to put on a liquid, it gives you a little bit of an airbrush finish. So thicker and fluffier brushes always, because you don't want any hard lines. You want it to look very soft and airbrushed. Mm-hmm. So fluffy brushes. There's great. Your tip.
Fluffy brushes. That's great. So, you know, obviously we're a business and a real estate pod. So,
we should get back to that.
Yeah. So if we were to change gears. So if like, so somebody that's getting into the business, that's just getting started, mm-hmm. You know, with your 4 years of experience, if you were to talk to the Lish day one, what would you say to young Lish, 25 Lish?
I would have said, one, be honest with yourself. How do you want this to look, really? And I would have stayed with someone longer. Like, I worked with Ian for the first little bit, and I would have stayed with him longer if I could redo it, because I think I was so green, and I was coming from waitressing, and I really didn't know, you know, I'm not from here. I didn't know anything about the real estate market. I didn't know anything about real estate, really. And I wish I had have taken my ego out of it and taken more time to learn. I wish I had have just sat next to someone and been an assistant and learned, because I think, again, you get that ego, or I did, of I can do this by myself and I want to do it by myself. Mm-hmm. And I could have, and I did for a little bit, but it, but that's not really the point. I think, maybe told myself to have more humility, like learn from as many people as you can, because it's only going to put you 10 steps ahead than you trying to grind and do it yourself. Right. But again, I think it's that thing of when I say I'm a glutton for punishment, I think I kind of wanted that. I wanted to fail a little bit subconsciously. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see what it was like to just really do bad at it and then figure out why. And I mean, that happened, you know? I had to kind of say to myself, okay, let's reevaluate this. But I think in a really sadistic way, I wanted that to happen. I wanted to see what I was made of, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's aspects on both sides when you're, you know, when you're first getting started in something, because you jump right in and you can learn a lot experientially, mm-hmm. Or through observation. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it really depends. So I think there's this, I was just writing a book about this, there's a saying on this very famous Greek sculpture, and I can't remember where it is, but it's like, know thyself. Mm-hmm. And it's a big, it's very, very important to, like, know yourself and what kind of makes you tick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to just embrace that and then make decisions based on who you are as an individual and where you want to go. So speaking of where you want to go,
yeah,
where, that? Like, what does the future hold for Lish?
Oh, like what, 5 years, 1 year?
Future. 5 years, 10 years.
So for sure, I mean, I want to grow with the Vancouver condo team and Vancouver pre-sales. One thing I've learned from that is that pre-sales are so much more fun. I mean, I still take resale clients.
Polish for your everyday needs.
Still here. No, but pre-sales is just fun. So I want to grow with that team. I love them. I love what they're doing. It's a really cool industry, and the pre-sale stuff is a little bit different, obviously, but still fun. And then with the makeup, I have kind of started a little side business. It's called Haymaker, and it's makeup, and then I'm doing a certification to do microblading. I don't know if you know what that is. It's like tattooing eyebrows.
Okay.
It's a big craze hitting the streets these days. Okay. So I'm starting a little side business doing that. And
can you get me a mustache?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, really?
I mean, that would look weird, I think.
Is it permanent or non-permanent?
It's technically semi-permanent.
Oh, it's semi-permanent, so I can have, like, you know.
You can change it up every couple of weeks.
You can have some handlebars, that'd be nice.
But yeah, do that, and then hopefully our TV show gets picked up. I think in a perfect world, I have this in my mind, and I really don't know how it looks, but it's an amalgamation of, you know, real estate and my creative side for makeup and the things, again, that I think I was just innately born with. I was born with the talent of the makeup and then my love for performing. So in a perfect world in my head, this is some type of business. I don't know what it looks like, but mm-hmm. that's what I hope happens.
Well, Lish, it's been a blast to sit down with you and to talk to you about dancing. Oh, I want to ask you one question. Okay. On speaking of dancing, so someone that does not know how to dance.
Sure.
Me.
Yeah.
What is a dance move that that is like the basic dance move that a guy should know?
I mean, this is the problem is like, do they have names? I don't know. I think if I was a guy, I always say this to people, even if you go to a class or you put on music in your house, put it on really loud and understand the beats, like the 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, and 2, and 3. And that's important because even if you're just trying to like pick a girl up at the club, you might not have moves, but if you can kind of hit the beat like with your rhythm,
right,
it's very impressive. You just need a little bit of rhythm. So I always say, listen to music and understand the counts and the beats. And there's so many things you can listen to too. You know, you can download just like the beats of music without the words and kind of understand like how those move and how to move your body with it. That's all you need. Understand the rhythm.
Just let the music flow through your body.
Seriously.
Michael.
Just Mike, let it flow.
I'm like, I'm trying.
Stop overthinking it.
Oh, when you were talking about the club, it just brought me back to like me with a bunch of dudes at the side of a bar, bouncing our heads, not right? talking to any women at all.
And, oh, trust
me. And like, that was a great night, guys.
Yeah. And really, in your head, you're like, thought, you're like, oh, that was awful.
That was a disaster. Okay. Next weekend.
Next week, I'm going to go to a different corner.
I know. Yeah. That other side of the bar. There. Yeah, there's tons of women there. Okay, Lish, that was great, and thank you so much. Mike. So, Lish, how can people get in touch with you?
You can find me on Instagram at Alicia Sander, or you can email me, I guess, alicia@aliciasander.com.
All right, Lish, thanks so much for being part of the Michael Yu podcast. If you guys don't mind, the listeners out there, if you guys don't mind rate, reviewing, and subscribing to the pod, that'd be fantastic. And we'll catch you next time.
Thanks.
Thank you.